Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whittaker-Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you. I'm at the National Residential Landlords Association annual conference today down in Coventry. And there's been some interesting speakers here today, none of which have focused on HMOs, I'm sad to say. We need to make our voices heard, those of us who invest in HMOs. As I look around the exhibition hall, there's a number of different stands here. We've got TradePoint, we've got Rent Guarantor, we've got Freeman's Property Solicitors, Leaders, Less Tax for Landlords, Loft Furnishings, some really good stands, lots of good content and lots of good people to talk to. There's a room, the conference hall is full. The room to my left, which is full of, I think, about 600 people who've come to this particular event today. So it's been very well attended. And at lunchtime, I was able to go around and speak to a few people about what they made of the conference. Leandra, hello. Would you mind if I asked you a quick question about the conference today?
Sure.
So you're obviously a member of the NRLA.
Yes, I am, yeah.
And how long have you been a landlord?
Oh, 10 years more.
So what changes have you seen in the sector over the 10 years you've been investing?
Well, there's been a lot of changes with the legislation and the regulation, which has been the main thing for us. Although I don't have a big problem with it. I'm quite happy with the increasing in standards. Just a little wary of the direction things are going at the moment with the abolition of the Section 21 and so on.
And do you mind me asking, where do you invest?
I've got property in South East and in the Midlands.
So the abolishment of Section 21 is something that's high on the agenda today. We obviously had the government minister, Felicity Buchan, here earlier on talking about what the government plans are. you've just made a grimace there. Tell me what you thought about what was said earlier.
I thought that was just a bit of political talk. She didn't really say anything of substance. She's new to the post, obviously. And I don't think we can take away a lot from what she said this morning. But it was good that she turned up to say something, albeit a little bit difficult to read between the lines what she's actually saying.
And at the moment, are your tenants all paying their rents? Are they all behaving themselves?
Yes, our tenants are great. We're happy with all our tenants.
So at the moment, you don't see any risk to your business in terms of the regulation, but it might be that moving forward, you're concerned in case you did get a bad tenant.
There's always a risk. It's a big investment property. And yes, of course, there's a risk. And if there's going to be further and further regulation and weightier onus put on the landlord, yeah, there is a risk, of course.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments. Appreciate it. Now, another table that is here as I walk around the foyer is the Valuation Office Agency. Yes, our best friends at the moment with regard to our campaign to have the VOA, we're sort of trying to pass this amendment that basically stops the VOA from being able to reband rooms individually for council tax in an HMO. And there's no one sitting at the table. So let me see what we've got here. We've got some statistics. They produce some statistics, private rental market statistics, and a nice big sheet here that shows summary of two bedrooms monthly rents. I might take one of those away. Then there's one that shows Central London, Southwark actually, and then we've got another one in Manchester. So I think these are comparing rental incomes from these three different areas, Manchester, Nottingham and Central London. So there's quite a lot of statistics on this page, along with some free pens and some Percy Pigs, just in case you didn't have enough sugar at lunchtime. So the VOA are here. Sadly, there's none of their officers here for me to be able to nobble at the moment, which is a shame. I might try and come back a little bit later on. So let me see if I can find somebody else to speak to. Actually, I'm going to come up to this company here. They're called Inventory Hive, beautifully simple property inspection software. Hello. So you're running a stall here today, an exhibition stall. So tell us what you do.
We provide the software to create your own inventories online on the cloud.
And what kind of conversations have you been having with delegates today?
So we've had lots of landlords that are interested in obviously using the software for doing their inventories on. Lots of different landlords, so people with HMOs, people with PRS.
Great, so a good mixture.
Yes.
And why is it important that somebody does an inventory and has one before their tenant moves in?
I will let George answer that.
So it's,
he will put it in better words than me.
It's all about starting conversation and letting tenants know it's okay to report maintenance and having that back and forth. So one of the standout features we offer is an automated tenant feedback platform. Benefit to that being it saves going back into a Word document, opening emails, going back and forth with that, trying to incorporate it all into a document. It also makes the report more robust as well, gives the tenant a voice if they feel like they disagree something with the report, and that actually bolsters the robustness of the report as well. And it's a very streamlined, simple process where the tenants just do everything off the back of an email. Very interactive. They add photos and written descriptions for anything they disagree with, which again, come checkout time, is, you know, enhances the robustness of that report.
Okay, so I mean that sounds like a very good product, and I can see how having it online and, like you say, encouraging tenants to actually report maintenance almost on the sort of back of their inventory being correct when they move in is very helpful. I'm particularly representing the HMO sector. I'm here today under the guises of the HMO Council Tax Reform Group. I was hoping actually to speak to your colleagues two tables down of the Valuation Office Agency, but they seem to have seen me coming and have run off. So have you had some HMO landlords come and talk to you today?
We had definitely had a couple of HMO landlords. We facilitate HMOs in a number of ways on the platform. So depending on how the deposit's distributed and managed, it will depend how you can manage that on Inventory Hive. So it can be a very simple process as well.
And do you find that a lot of people who are here today are self-managing their property, or are they using an agent?
It's always mixed conversation, whether it's been here or throughout our kind of general onboarding. You've got landlords who self-manage, landlords who may have a managed agreement with an agent but will still do the inventory themselves, and some landlords who just want to know a bit more about inventories as well, the point, the reason, the why, and the how, so kind of wind deposit disputes, you know.
Great, that's excellent. So I'll do a little bit of a plug for your business. Have you got a website? Inventoryhive.co.uk, that's wonderful, and someone can log on there and there's some information.
On the website, it's 30-day free trial, no payment card, no card details required. What we'll do is customer success team will get in touch with all of the trial accounts that come through. We'll find out about your business or your setup or, you know, your stock of portfolio, whether it's HMO, whether it's standard PRS, absolutely fine. And we'll give you some guiding tips throughout the way as well. If needs be, we could talk about training sessions and things like that as well.
That's absolutely excellent. Well, thank you, guys. You've got some nice little sort of freebies here as well.
Inventory Hive.
Oh, lovely. Love it. Oh, that's wonderful. I might come and get one of those later.
No credit for that idea myself.
This is great. You've got some lovely things. Yes, wonderful. I certainly will. I'll bring my bag back later and fill up. Yes, quite. Thank you very much. So as I move around the hall, as you can see, there's lots of different, or you can hear, I should say, there are lots of different exhibitors here today. We've had some very good speakers. Earlier on, we had an MP, Felicity Buchan, who came to sit on the panel, as you heard from that guy who was talking about his concern about Section 21. And there are lots of other stalls here. In fact, Vanessa Warwick is just standing there, standing over my shoulder. Hello, ladies. Would you mind if I just interviewed one of you about what you do and why the TDS is a really good service for somebody to participate in? If yes, that would be amazing. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Well, we're
Hello. Hello, I'm Wendy, Wendy Whittaker-Large, and I'm here today really representing the HMO sector. So you are the CEO of the Tenancy Deposit Scheme, is that correct?
Indeed, yes, okay. Amongst other things, yes.
Are you yourself a landlord?
No, I'm not.
You're not a landlord? Can we not persuade you to start investing after today?
Possibly, but not yet.
So how have you found the response to your stall, your exhibition here today?
It's been great, actually, because it's always nice to speak to landlords. I mean, we work with letting agents and with the NRLA and with, you know, independent landlords, and they all have, you know, different levels of skill and knowledge, particularly in our field around tenancy deposit protection. So it's great coming here talking to landlords about what their issues are, what, you know, what's worrying them, you know, what's on their mind. Yeah, fantastic.
Do you find that you have many from landlords who are investing in HMOs?
Yes, I think there's some of those. I mean, it's you know, we have a mixture of landlords. We have professional landlords, we have portfolio landlords, we have small independent landlords, got one or two properties. And yes, I think if you're going to go into the HMO field, I think you need to be a bit more experienced in my experience. And clearly there's a lot more regulations around letting an HMO than there are, you know, on an ordinary street house. So yes, I mean, and it's been good to see some of those landlords here today.
What kind of issues or challenges do you see landlords facing with tenancies, and I suppose with tenancy deposits in particular?
So I think the tricky bit is for tenants to fully understand what it means to have a tenancy deposit and what's going to happen at the end of the tenancy. I think sometimes tenants think that they're going to get their money back automatically, regardless of what happens. But, you know, we see that most of the claims that we end up adjudicating are around cleaning. And I think that it's important that tenants understand that at the start of the tenancy, they take the property over in a certain level of cleanliness. And it's really important, and that's usually documented in the inventory, but it's really important that at the end of the tenancy it's handed back in the same way. And I think that, you know, one of the issues I think we see is that tenants don't always understand that. So they'll go away, they think they've cleaned the property, but you can look at the check-in, compare it with the check-out, and there's a big difference. So I think landlords could help, I think, by stressing to the tenants that this is what the expectations are at the end of the tenancy, and if you cause any damage, either put it right or you're going to face a deduction from the deposit.
So it's therefore important, isn't it, that a landlord takes a good inventory or a good standard with photos and evidence to demonstrate what the property is like when they start to let it out, or the room, as would be the case in an HMO, so that they've then got the evidence to be able to say, I'm going to withhold £35 for cleaning.
Correct. So I think that's probably one of the things that inexperienced landlords forget to do. So I think it's really important that when they let a property, that they do a proper inventory of the room or the house that they're letting, to make sure they've documented exactly what the condition was. And you can know the sorts of things that are going to cause a problem. So usually it's in the kitchen, the oven not being clean. So make sure you take photographs of the oven and the grill. Make sure you open the fridge. Let's see what the inside of the fridge looks like. And also in the bathroom, you know, one of the big issues that we see on a regular basis is problems around, you know, mould being caused by the windows not being opened and not cleaning the mould off. So if you take pictures at the beginning, you describe the condition in the written word, then at the checkout when the tenant leaves, go back over it, make sure you take the pictures from the same position that you had the first time round and compare the two. And if there's been a deterioration, you can make a legitimate claim against the deposit. And if it's disputed, it'll come to us, and all we do is look at the evidence and make a decision.
Okay, that's really helpful. Now, you obviously offer two levels of deposit scheme, the custodial and the insured. Yeah. Roughly, what's the percentage of people who use each one of those?
So for TDS, we've been going a long time, since 2007. And, you know, for the first 9 years, all we offered was our insured scheme. So most of our landlords and letting agents use the insurance-backed scheme. So this is where the landlord keeps the deposit in their bank account. They just pay a small fee to protect it with us. And what we do is we guarantee then at the end of the tenancy, the tenant will get the money if the landlord doesn't pay it. We'll come after the landlord though, and you know, we'll take them to court if necessary to get the money off them. The other scheme we offer is a custodial scheme, where that money is transferred to our bank account for safekeeping, and that's a free scheme for landlords. And I really think it depends what the landlord wants. If the landlord's comfortable using our insurance-backed scheme, use that one. If you don't want to pay the fee, hand it over to us for free.
And roughly, what's the proportion of, you know, landlords who use either of them? Is it about 50-50?
I think it's probably about 50-50. I think that it comes down to individual preferences. I think often landlords feel a bit more comfortable with the deposit with us for safekeeping. For other landlords who, you know, take a different view, they'll have that in their bank account, they'll keep it, you know, till the end of the tenancy. I think the thing I would advise against, however, is landlords who, you know, take the deposit and just use it as working capital, because then at the end of the tenancy, when they've got to pay the deposit back, they might struggle to find it if they haven't put it away for safekeeping.
There's also some admin regulations, aren't there? So can you just remind us, what are those administrative actions that we have to take when we take a deposit?
Yeah, so the two key things you've got to remember are, when you pay, when you get a deposit from the tenant, you have 30 days in which to protect it with TDS. Okay, and if you, and that means going on this website, either paying for the insurance protection or transferring the money and getting the custodial deposit protection. So 30 days to do that. And in the same 30 days, you have to serve what's known as prescribed information. So this is information to the tenant that gives the name and address of the landlord, tells you which deposit protection scheme they're using, records the contact detail for the tenant at the end of the tenancy, so you know where you're going to contact them once they've left. And if you don't serve that within 30 days, that set of information, again, you're in breach of the deposit protection legislation. Now, the implications of that are quite serious, because if you don't protect the deposit properly, it means you can't serve a Section 21. So, you know, the only alternative is to repay the deposit to the tenant, then serve the Section 21. And potentially, if you do it late, the tenant could take you to court. And if they win at court, you'll have to pay the deposit back in full, and then the judge will impose a penalty of between 1 and 3 times the deposit. So it's an important thing to get right. It's quite easy to do on our website, but landlords who don't do it correctly are facing some big penalties.
Final question. What, Steve, what is your the level of people who are retaining deposits against unpaid rent? Do you have those as a figure?
So I think it varies year by year. So, so the disputes that come to us, we probably now find in 20% of cases that the landlord is claiming for unpaid rent. Now, I expect that over the next year or so, that proportion will go up, because as tenants start to find, you know, the recession biting, interest rates going up, etc., I suspect they'll find it more difficult to pay the rent. So yeah, about 20%. And actually, often cases don't come to us, the landlord and tenant agree, and we are finding, I think, increasingly evidence that landlords are saying to the tenant, look, you owe me, you know, £2,000 in rent arrears, I've got a deposit of £1,500, I'm going to take it out of the rent, out of the deposit, and the tenant says yes, no dispute.
Steve, Harriet, thank you very much. You're CEO of Tenancy Deposit Scheme. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So that was great to speak to Steve. So I'm just carrying on round the exhibition hall, because if you haven't been here today, you won't know what I can see and what I'm experiencing. So we've got My Deposits here as well, Landlord Action. We had Paul Champlina talking earlier on the stage at a panel. We've got the NRLA, of course, with their own stand. If you're not already a member, then you wouldn't really be able to be here. But nevertheless, it's great to see them here. There's landlord insurance. So there's quite a number of different stalls around and lots of different variety. Now, why have we come today? Well, mostly we've come today because we wanted to promote our campaign, the HMO Reform Group, the HMO Council Tax Reform Group campaign to remove single room bandings and, of course, council tax from single HMOs, single HMO rooms. And that's been moderately successful. Interestingly, I would say that of all the people I've spoken to, only probably 10 to 15% are HMO landlords. So clearly the NRLA has majority membership of people who are investing in single family buy-to-lets, maybe flats, and there are some people here who are doing serviced accommodation as well. So in fact, just walking past me now is Paul Champlain. Now let me see if I can quickly grab him. Paul. Hello. My name's Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Wendy Whittaker-Large, and I'm here today representing HMO landlords.
Okay.
So I'm just doing a little piece of my podcast at the moment on basically people that I can sort of grab an interview. Now, you've just been on the panel, the plenary panel this afternoon, so thank you very much for your contribution.
You're welcome.
Now, obviously, your organisation is Landlord Action.
Well, as many as others.
As well as others?
Yeah, so I'm Chief Commercial Officer of Hamilton Fraser. So we own Total Landlord Insurance, we own Landlord Zone, we own My Deposits, we own Landlord Action, we own the Property Redress Scheme, we own Client Money Protect, among others. So we represent the best part of 500,000 landlords and 22,000 letting agents.
Amazing. And I see you've got a sort of raft of exhibition stands over the other side,
yes,
which is
great.
So, Paul, in terms of HMOs, that's my podcast is focused on HMOs, so I'm particularly interested to hear.
And we insure a lot of HMO landlords.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you see as being some of the issues that HMO landlords are facing at the moment?
So let me make it very clear. I write for a lot of HMO organisations and Act and whatever, and being an HMO landlord is the hardest thing ever, okay? Especially when you self-manage, okay? So, and I think that actually, and we talk about rent to rent and guaranteed rent, and I'm a little bit cynical about it because I see the bad, and I think there needs to be some sort of association I'm working relating to that. But trying to place strangers in a house to try and share amenities from different cultures, different backgrounds, different countries, different beliefs, with different working patterns, is really, really hard, not for the faint-hearted. I think the yield's much higher, rents are going up. If you get it right and you're a fine-tune and it only comes with experience, it's great. If you get it wrong, it's horrendous and it can be like a cancer in the property. I know better than anyone when it comes to a problem tenant, because obviously you see, and I've done lots of HMO stories on the show, it's horrendous, especially if you come out of COVID with people saying they had COVID and mental health and unlawful evictions. And I would get contacted by police forces wanting advice from me because police officers didn't know about evictions and what was happening. And of course, the ban that happened during COVID. Once there's antisocial behaviour in an HMO, that's got to be the worst thing, because other tenants are fearful. And when they're fearful, they end up leaving the property quickly. And actually, from one empty room, you get 10, 5, 8 empty rooms. It's a real big hemorrhage for landlords. So for me, that's the biggest challenge. Yes, of course, you've got licensing and you've got the regs and all that stuff and you factor it in. And the reality is, it just adds on to the rent because rents keep going up.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. Now, earlier on, you were sitting on a plenary panel and there were lots of questions being fired at you, particularly about some of the changes that are happening or likely to happen from a government perspective. Of those questions that were put to you, was there one that kind of stood out as being a particular theme?
Really good question. Look, the biggest worry on the Rental Reform Bill, and it's, we've been talking about it all day, is periodic tenancies. How will they work? Student lets, obviously you look at HMO student lets, how does that work? Purpose-built blocks have an exemption, I think the government will listen. I've got a good gut feeling about that. It's not being rushed through, and obviously the abolishment of Section 21 and how does that work? Look, the main of the game is, in HMOs, tenants are more transient than normal. If you think about what happened prior to COVID, you had a glut of foreign national tenants that ended up leaving, and you had empty properties and landlords panicked, and there was a need for social tenants more so than ever before. I think, actually, my advice to landlords, and I'll give some general advice to landlords, we're in a really good industry. Landlords have got to up their game. Landlords have a short memory. We've had 0% interest for the best part of 10, 15. It's ridiculous. And as I say, and I say to a lot of landlords, this is a business, be professional. And I say to all your listeners, right, yes, there's some stormy times ahead, but tenant demand is through the roof. Tenants are fighting over properties. And sometimes you've got to eat egg and chips in an evening rather than steak and chips.
Paul Champlina from Landlord Action. That's absolutely great. Pleasure. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. So getting some nice comments there from Paul, who's quite a character. So I don't know if there's anybody else here that's particularly relevant for me to speak to. There's lots of people enjoying their tea and cake at the afternoon break. And obviously, as I've said already, there's quite a few people who invest in HMOs, but it's not by any means the vast majority of the grouping that is here. So very good day. I think lots of people have really enjoyed themselves. There's been some very relevant and interesting discussion and debate at the panel level. And we have, as a campaign group, been able to send forth our message. We spoke to the MP earlier on, Felicity Buchan, and she's taken away our briefing paper. So I think we're making some inroads there. So I'll be able to report back to you about how that's gone in the next few weeks. Obviously, by the time you listen to this message, this podcast, we will also know the results of the government's new finance activity, the budget, the sort of mini budget that's coming out this week. So that will be very interesting. So I will do a podcast on that next week once we understand the implications of that. And I look forward to sharing that information with you very, very soon. So from the National Residential Landlords Association Conference 2022, thank you very much for joining me, and I'll speak to you very soon. Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.